Breaking news. Life is not a one-size-fits-all. That's right. It's not a one-size-fits-all. So you can now give yourself the freedom and extend it to others to go do, be, have whatever is perfect and right for you. This is your invitation to be you. It's that simple. This idea that life is a one-size-fits-all, like, have you really tried on that one-size-fits-all? It doesn't fit all. It's not a perfect fit. Welcome to Lucid Live Vibes. I am Britt, the host and creator of Lucid Live Vibes. It is my intention to open the doorway, the gateway, the entrance. That is you. You are the gateway. And I want to open that doorway to who you are. It's not a one size fits all. What applies to someone else might not apply to you. How we feel through life is different. We all perceive and receive in different ways. We've been talking about intuition, the innate instinct, and we're going to be going further into the psychic abilities that I believe is part of being human. However, how we receive and perceive, how we tune in to our gut instinct, our innate instinct, that is our intuition, the inner navigational system, is different for everyone. It's so funny. In season 4, the opener, right? We did the premiere of the season 4 podcast. It was all about this great awakening. That is happening. There is this kind of, whoa, there's more. There's more to me. There's more to life. That's what I would call this great awakening. It's not religious. It's not New Age. It's like, whoa, there's more going on. There's more to me. There's more to life. And in that podcast, this would be episode 4 of season 4, if you're going in order. And you don't have to go in order. And of course, you can go back and binge season 1, 2, 3. And so this is season 4, podcast 4, the 44 vibes coming in hot. I said in that episode 1, that this is why I don't write books. I kept saying that, like, this is why I don't write books. I would never define life for another human. I only define it for me. And I have been inviting you to create your own vocabulary. Because even our vocabulary, it was 3, 2, 1 into that when I said that. 3, 2, 1, blast off. You want to blast off into who you are? Use the words that resonate for you. Toss the words that don't apply to you. I'll give you an example. I don't use the word deserve because I don't think I'm undeserving. I don't think you're undeserving. So if I were to use the word deserve, that would imply that there's an undeserving. I believe that we have all been enough and we are all deserving from the first breath that we take. I believe we are all perfect perfections. That's right. I'll say it again. We are all perfect perfections. So what happens? What happens along the way that we are no longer perfect perfections? What's happening with that? I mean, let's go there and talk about the fact that it's not a one-size-fits-all, right? It's not. And so if it's not a one-size-fits-all, what's the deal with this oneness, right? The one. What is that? Because there's a lot of people that talk about collective, collective, we're collective, we're collective. There is collective energy. There is collective energy. But you can create your own energy, and you don't have to be a part of collective energy. Now, there is the fact that we're all having a human experience on Earth right now. So there is a collective energy of Earth and the people, right? What's happening on Earth, the life force energy. Absolutely. But you don't have to be into that oneness of the collective vibration, meaning how do you feel for the oneness? Where is that oneness? Well, I don't feel oneness with the blame, shame, guilt, jealousy, envy, lack and limitation of Earth. I don't feel oneness with the predators, the narcissists, the sociopaths, the psychopaths. I'm not oneness with that. I am not oneness with those lower heavy vibrations. Not at all. Now, when we go up into like joy, happiness, enlightenment, is there oneness? Well, yeah. I mean, look at kids playing on the playground. I mean, isn't it incredible how kids don't get caught up with the judgment? I mean, the kids that are overflowing and dishing it out, who's overflowing and dishing it out to them? Who's serving up the judgment? Who's serving up the trauma, right? There's not oneness with that. Now, there is oneness with misery loves company, right? I mean, come on with the water cooler chat. You know who I'm talking about. There is oneness with those lower vibrations of negativity, gossip, right? Aware of what everybody else is doing. But where's the self-awareness? Where's the looking at self? It's this projection onto others. It's this need to have a one size fits all. Well, guess what? Life is actually bittersweet. That's right. It's a bittersweet symphony. What does your life taste like? Is there sweetness or bitterness? Is there joy and happiness where you get to be your inner child, right? No judgment. You follow that good feeling. Yeah. Going with your flow, your rhythm. And so there are many humans that give themselves the freedom to be who they are. And they extend that to others. And it's not a one size fits all. And it's so freeing. It's so refreshing. And then there's that telling people what to do, right? I mean, maybe you're already like, oh, the teachers, right? Like maybe you have a thing with the teachers. Here's what I think. I think we're the student and the teacher. We are. We're the student and the teacher. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. You know, learning, growing, expanding, it's part of the human nature. I mean, we're always growing. Life force energy is evolving, growing, becoming. From the minute we take that first breath, when we are enough, we are enough at birth. But what's the response you get? What's the response some of us received at birth? Creating this bittersweet symphony that is life. Because it's not a one-size-fits-all reality. It really is more choose your adventure, choose your ending. Now, for me, there is no ending. I believe that we are infinite. But that's for another podcast because we're talking about this human experience. The experience you're having right here, right now. This idea of fitting in is an illusion. It's part of the constructs. And the systems of the earth promote this. There is a promotion of fitting in. And it's an illusion. But what happens is, it feels like from birth for many people, they aren't given the freedom to be who they are, to play about it, to be about it, to discover. Because see, learning, growing, expanding is just part of the human nature. It's just part of life. I mean, I've never known a child who didn't want to learn and explore and have fun. But I also haven't met a child that wanted to be told what to do. I mean, do children like structure and schedule and knowing that they're safe? Yes. But being told what to do. You see, here's the thing. The people that are true teachers, the true teachers, not the ones that are employees getting paid to do a job. Now, I really hope true teachers are getting paid for what they do. Because I'm all about being supported in our human experience. Money energy is part of this earth experience. So I'm all in favor of people getting paid and the exchange of money for doing something. Now, I'm all about other ways, trading. I love trading. I think trading is incredible, right? I have something, you have something. Let's trade about it. It's pretty cool. So this isn't a money conversation, and I love money energy. It's part of the earth experience. And again, that's for another podcast and another conversation. But money is also not a one size fits all. Everybody has a different money mindset. A lot of people's one size fits all money mindset is causing lack and limitation. So it's not a one size fits all when it comes to money either. And it's not a one size fits all when it comes to learning and growing and expanding. A lot of people have this like education mindset, which really leads to this schooling kind of conversation, right? And then it's this one size fits all. When it comes to even the learning, the growing, the expanding. I mean, what about the medical, the doctors, right? They're looking at kids, right? Are they achieving certain things by certain times, right? Like at this age, you should be doing this thing. This one size fits all of what you should be accomplishing at different stages in life, at different ages. And so when we talk about schooling, when we talk about education, it becomes a construct. It becomes something that you fit into. But here's the thing, learning, growing, expanding, there's nothing to fit into. It's your natural human nature to grow, to learn, to experience. And what I see from children is the desire, the thirst, the hunger for experiencing life. You know, up when the sun comes up, you know, like, don't make me sleep. I got stuff to do. Kids don't want to sleep because they got stuff to do. There's things to accomplish. And so when you got kids that aren't all hyped up on sugar and, you know, crazy stuff going on with the diets, crazy stuff going on in the food. I mean, a lot of stuff has sugar in it. It's crazy. And so, yes, there's not a one size fits all on the food, the diet. But when you get kids that aren't hopped up on the sugar, right? And have that sugar addiction. Because, I mean, come on, scientists and studies have proven that the sugar is like cocaine for the rats. It is. There is something going on with the sugar. For sure, something going on with the sugar. But that doesn't mean you can't have sweet things in life. I love embracing honey, but that's for another podcast as well. The children, the kids, they have a thirst and a hunger for learning and exploring. That was my favorite thing to do with my son, is just take him to the nature preserve, take him out in nature, to the hiking trails, to the creeks, to the ponds, and just let him be. the moments to just be, to experience who you are, to experience your earth experience, earth, right? Nature. Or maybe not even out in nature. Maybe at the library, allowing them to just be. Pick the book you want. Pick what you're interested in. I promise kids want to read. I promise kids want to learn things. I'm obsessed with learning. I'm obsessed with it. I don't really watch TV and movies and all like entertainment things. I'm not into that. I'm a podcast junkie. I love it because the podcast is like the cliff notes. It really is like, who goes on podcasts? Like people that write books or create things or whatever, they're like trying to share. And so they go on these podcasts, and I'm definitely not a late night talk show person at all. Like maybe in the 80s and 90s, but not anymore. I'm talking about like podcasts, not talk shows, podcast. There's a difference. There's a difference. And for me, I love the podcast because I don't have to read the book. I don't have to see the thing, or maybe it makes me want to read the book. Here's what I love about a good podcast. I mean, a good podcast is like an hour to 3 hours. I mean, come on, I've gotten on board with some 6 hour podcasts. Now it's taken me days to get through it because like who has 6 hours straight, right? I love listening because I'm always doing things. So I like to listen while I'm doing things. So that's why I'm a podcast person is I don't have to watch it. I can just listen. But the podcast, especially when you get a really cool interaction and some powerful questions are being asked that bring up some just incredible information right there in that present moment between two people. Now, I know when two or more are gathered, it's so powerful, the energy. And so when you have two people that are communicating, the spontaneousness of that communication will bring forward some incredible in the moment, aha, epiphany, enlightenment moments. Like, so for me, even if you have somebody in a podcast that's written a book, that's why I say it's like the cliff notes. You know, you don't have to read the book. You just the cliff notes version of it. Tell me what happens. I was all about cliff notes in the 80s and 90s as well. I don't know if I would have done so well in college without Cliff Notes. I didn't read all that stuff. I just read the Cliff Notes. And that's the podcast is you can tune into the podcast and hear directly about it, about like whatever it is that they want to share. And I think that there's magic in that because it's spontaneous. And again, it's more than just the person, right? There's an interaction and there's questions, and questions are powerful. Questions open us. Questions are the doorway. It's the opening. It's the opportunity. Really is. Asking powerful questions. And so when you start asking powerful questions, it opens you. And then you're becoming what? The seeker. The seeker. Seeking. And I believe everything we're seeking is seeking us like a magnet. And where you focus your attention is where the energy is going to flow. And so for me personally, I believe the majority of humans and like the absolutely most of the kids, especially the happy kids, they're seeking. They want to know. They want to interact with life. But what's up with the classrooms? What's up with the sterile environments? What's like, for me, it feels like prison, right? I'm a cage-free kind of person. I'm not into cages. I'm not into zoos. I'm not into any of that. It's like, I get that we need some refuge, like the refuge for animals, right? Let me gather my words here. I fully understand that there are zoos that are actually a refuge where they are this healing for animals. And so I know not all places and spaces for animals that humans are providing are this zoo kind of mentality, making money off of caged animals, right? But I am freedom. I'm not about cages. I'm not, like, I'm freedom. And I love being outside. I love the sun. I love the oxygen in the air. And for me, that indoor, sitting in the room, sitting in the chair for however many hours, there was no freedom in that. There was no fun in that. It was sterile, and I was being told what to do. And here's the problem that I have with teachers. We'll get back to that. Are there true teachers? Yes. I think that there are teachers of a craft, right? Or teachers of a knowing of something. Absolutely. And what they're doing is they're overflowing and passing on information, almost like a storyteller. They're passing it on. But it's up to the student, the person receiving, to process and to learn that. And so what I see these days is you have teachers who are paid employees that are serving up information that they are being paid to serve. And the whole purpose of them serving up the information isn't necessarily about teaching or learning or education. It's more of memorization to regurgitate. So what I see is there's a lot of busy work. There's a lot of things that are not truthful in the curriculum. And what I see is you have a lot of teachers that are employees getting paid to share a specific book, specific information. And so it's really just passing on memorization. Now, are some teachers really teaching? I believe some teachers that are paid employees are true teachers. And I do think where there's an application to be learned, right, like math, you're applying it. There can be teachers that are teaching the steps, teaching the formulas, teaching the how-tos. Yes. But really, when you think about, for me at least, this idea of a teacher, which was my dance teacher growing up, Miss Linda, she didn't even have to use words. And she was this true teacher that could teach in an individual one-on-one way. Now, she would teach the masses, large groups, and I'm talking large groups. She was amazing. She could do that. And she could say, here are the steps, here are the words, right? Here it all is. Here's how you do it. Or here's the concept of it. Here's the mechanics, right? Here's the movement of it. Here's the body placement, right? Like in ballet, the technique of it. And she could show it. But then what she could do is go one-on-one and help those individuals to be the best that they could be, and would work with them one-on-one with all the little things that were personal to them. So, for example, one person, it could be the shoulder placement. The other person, it could be the leg placement. For one person, it could be the thought concept behind it. And she just knew. She innately, instinctually knew. She had the gift of making some of the people that were the least coordinated of all look absolutely amazing. It was truly a gift because she was a true teacher who could identify what was happening with the student and would individually, because it's not a one size fits all, not even with dance, not even with ballet. It's not. She can show you. She could use one of us to show everybody this is the perfect way to do it. This is the mastery way to do this. But then she would go and one-on-one work individually with people because she knew it wasn't a one-size-fits-all. And it was a little tweak here and a little tweak there for each person and what they needed. And what was beautiful about it is she didn't take everybody else's time to go deep into something that was for one person in there. And then the opposite in college for me, walking into the rooms were giant. It was like, you know, you're going to a freaking concert and here you are in college and you got a professor with a million blackboards. You know, this auditorium was like a concert hall is what it was. It was huge. So in college, oh my God, like I had so many of my classes, hundreds of people. I think in all the history classes I had, there were 500 people in the class. They had teaching assistants. So like the professor didn't even know us. There were like way too many. And how many of those classes did they have, right? It's like they had hundreds of thousands of students. So of course they didn't know their students. Those professors, they didn't know them. So they were teaching assistants. And so there is this one size fits all in life mentality so much of like just this mass for the collective, right? This is how we all do this. This is how we all do that. And it's just not true. It's not true at all. And it's funny that I'm talking about academia and history, right? And how much of that information wasn't even true and how many of us knew that. I know the truth is coming to the surface and a lot of these books are going to be rewritten. And it's time for new books. I kept saying, this is why I don't write books. Maybe I should write that book about it's not a one size fits all. Would you buy that book? Would you buy that? So you can feel through how your life tastes. Yeah, it's not a one size fits all. When you talk about self-mastery, well, self-mastery is simply self-knowing. When you know yourself, that's self-mastery. There's this individual human experience, the me, myself, and I that we're having. And when you tune into self, you realize you really are the student and the teacher. You do know best for you. You know, picking up books, taking classes, learning from people, it's great. But their truth doesn't have to be your truth. Just like when we have a conversation, what that other person is sharing doesn't have to be true for you. Just because it's true for them doesn't mean it's true for you. Now, are there some things about being human that can be true for all of us? I think so. I mean, I believe humans need to eat. And I think we need water. I think humans need clean water. Do we all have this pineal gland in the center of our brain? Yes, I believe we do. I don't know if people are born without it. I don't think that's a thing. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think that's a thing. I believe intuition and psychic abilities are part of being human. It's innate. It's part of our innate instinct. It's part of the me, myself, and I human experience. Mental, emotional, and physical, the three pillars of the human experience. That intuition and psychic abilities, it's part of that. It's mental, emotional, and physical. There's layers. There's layers to you. There's past, present, future. I mean, the mind-body connection is the gut. Our gut is literally a second brain. I know the gut is the gut instinct. Does know yes or no. When I feel a yes or a no in my gut instinct, it's going to be different than what you feel in your gut. You know, it's really interesting. I have somebody in my coaching right now. They're amazing. And they're so tuned into their intuition. And we are about to just expand into the psychic abilities. They were able to recently discover what fear in their body feels like. Now, fear is the first thing I think we all pick up on as humans, because the subconscious and ego will feel that fear. And the subconscious and ego want to keep you safe. And so they're going to pick up on the fear just so that you're safe. So thank your subconscious and ego for keeping you safe. But you got to feel through that fear, right? Is it for you? Is it for somebody else? Like, what's that warning? What's that caution that you're picking up on fear? And so there's that fear that is innate to keep you safe. So you don't step into a hole. You don't, you know, end up in a negative situation. It's that guidance. Go left, not right, that keeps you safe. And I always lean into that. I always listen to that, because there's safety and protection in that innate knowing, the inner navigational system, the intuition. But I do feel through it, right? Because sometimes it's a fear that is coming forward for me to face, to walk through it, that there's nothing to fear at all. And so I do think when it comes to the fear that's so easy for us to recognize is to feel through that. And so it's so cool. This person in my coaching knows what fear in their body feels like exactly, but in the fear of it's time to face this and walk through this. Like, you got this thing and there's nothing to fear but fear itself, that thing. And when you recognize, oh, it's fear, but this is the guidance that I'm feeling in my body, because she physically feels it in her body. And now she's lived through these experiences where she's walked through it and come out on the other side victoriously and goes, oh, that's just the fear I need to face and walk through. I can do that. But then that other fear, right, that truly keeps you safe from falling off the top of a mountain, right? That's a little bit different. But here's the thing. The way I feel through my fear is different than her, because it's not a one size fits all. I do feel it physically. Also, what my gut does with a yes, right, versus what my gut does with a no, you might feel it differently. And so there is this allowing yourself to be who you are and feel what you feel, so that you recognize the physical feelings, the physical reactions that you have in life. You know, when your intuition is saying that person's a no, this situation's a no, are you listening to that? Can you feel through that for yourself instead of immediately going to somebody else and saying, oh, here's what happened, what should I do? Right? You know, the people that ask everybody else what they should do? Yeah. Or maybe the people that ask other people for permission all the time. Or, you know, the people that say, oh, I'm sorry, they're constantly apologizing. What's up with that? Why are some people are constantly, I'm sorry, I apologize, I'm sorry, my bad, I'm sorry. Or the people constantly asking for permission. Hey, can I call you? Hey, can I send you an email? Hey, can I, I don't know, can you? Like, right? Are you going to give yourself the freedom to just go do be? Right? And so the doubt is what it is. Self-doubt is everybody's kryptonite. It's everybody's kryptonite. It's incredible. Doubt, maybe that's a one-size-fits-all, the fear and doubt, right? Maybe that is one-size-fits-all. No, it's not, because there's some people that have no fear, really. And there's a lot of people that have no doubt. They have complete confidence in themselves and their knowing, and they don't doubt. You know, I love confidence. I find it so refreshing. And confidence is not arrogance. So it's incredible to me, because lack of self-esteem, like not believing in yourself, to me is the same as arrogance. The people that are super arrogant and the people that lack self-esteem, they're, it's the same vibration to me. It's the same. It just is, it's being expressed in opposite ways. But both are lack of, people that are arrogant lack confidence. But people that lack confidence that aren't arrogant, they can see arrogant people as confident because they don't lack, they don't have that. They lack that in themselves. So they look at an arrogant person and they're like, oh, they have confidence. No, they're arrogant. And so I only tend to see or experience people with a low self-esteem that have no confidence in themselves look at arrogant people as confident. And it's because they don't understand confidence. And they think that arrogance is that, and it's not. See, confidence is not arrogant. Confidence is just knowing. And I will say people that are confident and they know who they are, they don't tend to be around people who lack confidence or who are arrogant. Most arrogant people surround themselves with people that lack confidence. Now, when it comes to arrogance, we could also open the doorway for narcissism, sociopaths, psychopaths, but that's for a different conversation. And we did talk about predators. We did talk about the cult culture. We have talked about those things. Like, who are the predators? Who's causing the trauma? And we can go there again. I love hearing from you guys, and you guys are sending me some pretty incredible comments. This podcast was actually inspired from an interaction. And I love it. I love that you guys are reaching out, asking questions, and I can respond with a podcast in real time. And no, it's not a one size fits all. But maybe I should write a book about that. Because I believe we're in this great awakening and we can serve ourselves whatever we want to serve up. What experience do you want to have? What do you want to tune into? Because there's nothing to fit into. See, the people that are fitting in are really cutting themselves off to fit in. I think it requires courage to be who you are. Because we're in a cult culture right now. People are just ripe and prime for the cult culture because they don't trust themselves and they think it's a one size fits all. I mean, we've talked about the cults and the cult culture a lot because we're in that right now. People typically don't join a cult. They join a family. It's because they want to fit in. They want to be loved, right? The tribe, the community. But the problem with that is this one size fits all mentality. Everybody starts eating alike. They're dressing alike. They're right. Where's the individual? We're having a me, myself, and I human experience first. And I don't believe anybody completes us. I'm not into that. We complete ourselves. So when you're centered in self and you know you, there's completeness, there's wholeness, self-knowing is self-mastery. And from that being centered in self, the foundation of you, you move out from there. And so the people pleasing, right? Being that dance monkey, trying to fit in, do it like everybody else, look like everybody else. Your uniqueness is your medicine. Your uniqueness, that's it. That's the answer. I believe we are life force creation energy, and I believe it's that creation energy that flows through us, our creativity. And it's not about, oh, I can't draw a straight line, I'm not an artist. No, creativity, how, like, being creative in your relationships, being creative in your life, like your creativity, the life you've created for yourself, your environment, your lifestyle, using who you are, allowing who you are to overflow. And it's not about telling people what to do. Like, I don't want to be told what to do, and I don't tell people what to do, and I never give advice. It's communication. It's an overflow. But it doesn't have to make it true for you. My truth doesn't have to be your truth. Your truth doesn't have to be my truth. Our hearts, right? The desires of our heart, our needs, our wants, our desires, that's part of who we are. And when you cut that off, you're cutting yourself off. When you cut off who you are, you cut off the flow of your creation energy, your life force energy. So allowing yourself to be and not fitting into other people's truth, other people's constructs. You know, it's interesting because I think you can learn a thing. I think you can go to a school. I think you can do a thing without fitting in. I think, you know, like university and college, I think you can go pay the money, get your piece of paper to go do your thing without having to fit in. You're just learning a thing. You're just getting a piece of paper and you're moving on, right? But for some people, that construct, the academia, it makes them question who they are. I mean, I know the medical does as well. The doctors. That would be a podcast, right? See, here's the thing. The one size fits all, even when it comes to our health and wellness and well-being, I had to opt out in order to save my life. I had to listen to my intuition, my gut instinct, in order to heal myself. I went through a 7-year healing, and it's interesting because what everybody else was doing wasn't working for me. And so I decided to save my own life. And I followed my own intuition and my innate knowing. And I did save my life. And it was amazing because top doctors and healers all right there just when I needed them. It was amazing. And in following my gut instinct, my intuition, I learned so much from other people. One of the people I learned a lot from passed away, I think, before I was even born. But their knowledge and their wisdom and their research lived on, and it changed my life in the most positive of ways. Weston A. Price was a dentist on planet Earth, and he wanted to know why Americans, their teeth were falling out, and they had the best dentistry, and what was going on. So he traveled the world, and he visited tribes and tribal people around the world and found out they had perfect teeth. Like, why did tribal people in the middle of the forest, right, have perfect teeth, but, you know, Americans, their teeth are falling out of their head? What's going on with that? And he discovered it was the way they were preparing their food and what they were eating. And so I learned from his foundation. There's a free foundation, the Weston A. Price Foundation. They're not grifting. They're not making money. It's incredible. And one of my doctors shared Weston A. Price with me, and I learned. And I started eating according to some of the guidelines that he researched. And of course, even with him, it wasn't a one-size-fits-all with a diet. It was very much of, here's many, many options, because we all are going to eat in different ways, especially depending on what we're experiencing. And so some people, yes, the gut instinct, they have a hard time feeling the gut. Some people are very disconnected from that because there's a gut healing that's needed. The gut is that brain-body connection. It's like your second brain. And so a lot of what we're consuming, right, like what's on your plate, what you're putting in and on your body, it affects everything. And so for me, I followed my intuition, my gut instinct, and I learned from a free foundation, from a man that's not even on planet Earth anymore, how to eat. I started preparing all my food in these tribal ways, and I healed myself. It was amazing. I healed my gut, and then I became a master meditator. It was incredible. And so there was another man along my path. I love Weston A. Price, but I love Wim Hof as well. Maybe you've heard of Iceman Wim Hof. He's all about these ice plunges, and I love ice plunges. I believe in the cold therapy for sure. I like even hot cold, but I love a good ice bath. It's incredible. Getting in is the hardest part because you're forced to breathe. So part of Wim Hof is breathing, and his breathing technique is wow. It's an adrenaline boost. It's crazy. It's not for everyone, but I love that Wim Hof has tapped into the breath, into ice. And I believe ice holds the program for life. And so does Wim Hof. He's in his 70s and his story is incredible. He has assisted so many people in healing. And he really is kind of this one-on-one because he knows it's not a one-size-fits-all. He will even say when it comes to his breathing, it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not for everybody. He went and studied with monks. His first wife committed suicide out of depression, and he wanted to better understand why some humans were depressed and would take their life. And so it was out of the love, out of his love for his wife and children, that he went and studied with monks about just life and happiness and health. And he learned this breathing technique from monks and adapted it. And he teaches this breathing technique. And he even talks about how you don't have to do it like that. When you enter into an ice plunge, an ice bath, or into the cold, your body is forced to breathe. I mean, you're just forced to breathe. And so you're going to figure out your own breathing by getting into some ice water. But he breathes in and out of his mouth. I don't do that. I have to breathe in my nose and out my mouth. Now, I know because I learned from top doctors, healing doctors, that when you breathe in your nose, exhale out your mouth, you are calming the parasympathetic nervous system. In the nose, out the mouth. But Wim Hof, when he breathes, he just does mouth. And I don't do that. And he even says, you can breathe in your nose. You don't have to do the mouth breathing. That's just what he prefers because it's not a one size fits all. So this idea of like breath work, it's not work. It's just innate. It's a part of who you are. It's not work. It's tapping in and tuning in. But we are all going to breathe in a different way. That's why there's so many different breathing techniques that people have taught over the years. And so I don't do Wim Hof breathing like the way that he does all the time because it's just too high adrenaline for me. I mean, if I was going to go on a hike, yes, but for every day, I just simply breathe in my nose, out my mouth. And he also talks about ice baths aren't for everybody. Some people love an ice or a cold shower. And you don't even have to do that if you're not into the ice or the cold. We have to all follow what is best for us. And I'm just going to say, I do not even believe that the doctors and the teachers and the lawyers, that they know best for us. We know best for us. I can't tell you how many doctors I'm like, nope, they don't know. Nope, they don't know. And I have a list of teachers that didn't know a thing, right? And so you are your own guru. You're your best teacher. You do know for you, but the doubt and the fear, it causes the illusions. It causes the disconnection. And I think the greatest illusion is the separation. There is no separation from who you are unless you cut yourself off from who you are. Trying to fit in, trying to be like everyone else. When we allow ourselves to flow and to be and give yourself the freedom, it's a completely different life experience than cutting yourself off and forcing yourself to fit into these constructs, fitting in to be like everybody else or to please them. The magic is right there in the freedom. But it's not a one-size-fits-all